Well, good evening, everybody. As James said, Psalm 23 is familiar territory. I have preached before with fireworks going off in the background. I'm not sure I've done it with the rumbles of the Lord's thunder, so we will have some fun and enjoy that tonight. It's great. I'm loving tonight. I'm loving the fact that it's so involved. We're singing a lot. We're speaking a lot. It's going to happen continually through the service. Psalm 23, as I say, it is familiar territory for us. Chances are, whether you're a believer or not, you will have heard something from it. It's incredibly valued, incredibly loved, both from for the spiritual truth that it contains, but also the poetic nature of its form. One of the reasons, of course, it's so popular is because of its fourth verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Those words in particular have brought comfort countless times. To people who are dying, as James has alluded to. They've been read and sung time and time again at many a funeral. They are precious. They are a precious. They're an important truth for times such as those. So why have I chosen to speak on it, a passage that's associated with funerals, at our summer praise? Well, the reason is because it's really a psalm about life. It's a psalm about life. It's about thanking and praising God for his provision in enabling us to have life and to have life to the full. Only one of the six verses talks of death, but all of the images presented to us by David, he's the author, show us the amazing provision of God for his people. You could say it's a bit like the gospel in a nutshell. It's all there in just six verses. So here's the plan. This is what I want to do just in the next 15 or so minutes. I want to give us a look at the foundation to the psalm in verse 1, just very briefly. And then I want us to try and rejoice in five images that David gives us in this psalm. And then I'll conclude with a recommendation for a great summer read. Is that all right? That's the plan. Anyway, foundation, five reasons to praise, and a recommendation. Let me encourage you to open or reopen your blue Bibles. Turn to Psalm 23. As you do that, I will pray for us. Lord, we do love to read these words. They're familiar to us. We love your word, and we thank you for it. Please, would you help us to understand more of you, more of your provision for us, and show us where we need to change as a result of these words tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, verse 1. It is so important we do not skip this verse. Very often we can jump quickly to the images of shepherd and pasture and water and life-giving nourishment and protection through the trials of the valley. But there is a stunning and beautiful foundational truth to hold on to first. It's just lightning just lit up the windows. It's brilliant. So let's go to verse 1. Would somebody like to reread verse 1 for us? Someone who's got a loud voice, just reread verse 1. Hands up if you want to do it. Who's going to go for it, Robin?
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in
Simple question. Who is David's shepherd?
The Lord.
The Lord. And here's the thing, folks. We all have a shepherd in life. He says, this is my name. I am who I am. I will be who I will be for you. I am promising things. I've got this. You can trust me. I am who I am. And it is this constant, this totally independent, this totally powerful creator, provider, self-sufficient, eternal God, who is David's shepherd. That's his shepherd. And he can be ours too. Is he? Is that God, your good shepherd? I hope he is this evening. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I used to get extremely confused about this psalm. Two reasons why. I'm going to share them with you. First reason was we sing the first line of this psalm, and we're going to do it in a bit. We will sing the first line. We'll sing like this. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. I was like, the Lord's my, why would I not want my Lord? Why would I not? It's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Hang on a minute, you know, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Of course, I'd not understood that the first part of that verse is a statement of fact, and the second part is the implication of that fact. It's an old-fashioned way of saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, what more do I need? I don't need anything. It's a rhetorical question. I shall not want for anything. I shall not lack anything. But even when I came to understand that, and it took me way too long to get there, frankly, but even when I came to understand that, the second point of confusion was this verse did not track with my experience. Does it track with yours? Yes, I'm a Christian, Lord. Yeah, I'm following you. So how come I still need this? How come I still want this? There was loads more that I wanted. There was loads more that I tried to convince myself and my shepherd that I really did need. You know, I really need that. And again, if I'm honest, I think I still do. I need this, Lord. And God says, no. You have everything you need. I am who I am. I will be what I need to be in order to provide everything that is needed for my people. Who are our people? Those who love God, those who trust him, those who obey his commandments. God says it won't be easy. You won't get everything you want. You might not get anything you want. But you will get what I know you need. That's what God promises. If the Lord is your shepherd, he will provide everything you need to get you through this life and safely into the next. He will provide. And for some of us, the reality is that that transition from one life to the next will come sooner than for others. And that is why, isn't it? It's one of the reasons this psalm is such an appropriate choice at a funeral. But it is a psalm about life. And I want to show you the five pictures David uses to expand on this. If we can't see them, don't worry. We'll just use our imaginations because God's given us imaginations. But let's use these five things, these five reasons to praise God together tonight. Here's the first. It is a lush meadow beside still water. So firstly, praise God for the rest that he provides. This is verse 2 and the start of verse 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Wow. Let's praise God tonight for the rest, the restoration he provides. He provides a peaceful place for us to feed on him through his word. You know, it's no coincidence how some imagery in scripture comes up time and time again. It's no accident when this happens. We're supposed to join the dots. We're supposed to make the connections. And so I find it fascinating that Jesus claimed to be the good shepherd. And not only did he claim to be the good shepherd, but he was the good shepherd who led his people to green pasture. Sat them down, and he fed them physically. We were looking at it this morning. A few rolls and a few fish. And he fed them spiritually from his word as he spoke. Now, we were looking at that this morning from Matthew's account. But Mark includes the fact that the grass was green. He tells us. And you know, that's, you're reading, so what? Okay, it might be telling us it had been raining or it was nice and lush. But I think we're supposed to join the dots and praise the Lord for the restful provision he provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Jesus is fulfilling this when he comes. That's the first picture. Second picture is one of a signpost. So praise God for the guidance that he provides. He gives us guidance. Verse 3, he guides me in paths of righteousness. for his name's sake. You know, if we listen to him, we will find the direction we need to journey through life, to take the right paths, if we listen to him. And boy, do we need this, don't we? Our world is so confused about what is right and wrong and good and evil, so confused about the true nature of freedom in life. And if you listen to it, the world will tell you that you need to walk your own path. You need to find your own way. Do it your way, it will tell you. But actually, it turns out that true freedom is found along someone else's path. And he has given us the guidance and direction we need in his word to follow and to walk that way. So, praise God for his rest, praise God for his guidance. Thirdly, praise God for the comfort that he provides. And this is the picture of the valley, complete with lightning, especially for tonight. Take a look again at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I won't. It's no wonder, is it, we love reading this verse to those who are dying or those who are going through significant battles. It's no wonder we want it read at the funerals of loved ones. What a comfort. What a comfort that is. To hope to be in a place right now where you fear the effects of no evil. But you don't have to have been a Christian for very long, do you? Frankly, you don't have to have been alive very long to know that life throws some pretty dark shadows our way. We feel that darkness acutely, don't we? Not just through bereavement, but we feel it when sickness comes, when aging takes effect. We feel it through violence to ourselves and to those around us, through relational breakdowns. We feel it through warfare and geopolitical upheaval. We feel it through environmental catastrophe and just accidents. Just why do things happen? And when all these things cast their shadow, we feel it acutely. And David here tells himself, I will fear no evil. Why? For Yahweh is with him. Yahweh is with him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, David says. Praise God that he is present with us through life's shadows and he provides us comfort. Next picture. Bit of a contrast, bit of a scene change. It's a party. So fourthly, praise God for the victory that he provides. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup it overflows. It's a picture of victory, total victory, Yahweh's victory to be celebrated, the great I Am's victory. It's a foreshadowing of what Jesus achieves on the cross, victory over sin and death. You know what Paul says in Romans 8? Death can't separate us. Why? Because we're more than conquerors. There's victory. 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that Yahweh prepares a table in front of his enemies isn't to gloat. It isn't to be vindictive. It is because the vindication of the Lord must be a public event. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. All will know, they will see, they will understand. But sadly for some, it will be too late. So praise God for the victory party he provides for those who are penitent, for those who are humble in heart before him. I love these pictures. Do you love them? I love them. I really love them. One more, and it's a corker. One more to finish. Home. Home. Finally, praise God for the eternal blessing he provides. This is verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Eternally. We're going home, brothers and sisters. We're going back to the place we belong. As the old gospel song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Until then, goodness and love and mercy will follow us. They'll pursue us. They'll be right there, making sure we get home. They'll be in pursuit of us. And home is such a strong, vivid, emotive picture, isn't it? For those of us who are blessed with loving upbringings, you know, we can look back on our childhood homes with affection. We'll think of pictures and smells and relationships and food and it will conjure up such a powerful image for us. For those of us who had perhaps more troubled starts in life, there's a longing, isn't there? Something wasn't right, but I'm longing for something else. Many of us spend vast amounts of time and money trying to improve our earthly homes, don't we? Looking for that ideal home, trying to just do that thing that needs to be done to make it just right. Looking, the perfect location or whatever it is. But this place can never truly be home because of our disconnection with God. Something has to change, and it has. It's changed through the victory that Jesus has provided. His death on the cross opens up that possibility of us going home, a place of true security, a true connection, true happiness, true satisfaction, a place of true blessing. Why? Because we are with Yahweh eternally. Eternally. This is what it means to live as Christians, as followers of Jesus, folks. This, I think, is the gospel in a nutshell. So let's praise God for the rest and the restoration he provides. Remember the meadow. Let's praise him for the guidance that he provides. Remember the signpost. Let's praise him for the comfort he provides. Remember the valley. Let's praise him for the rescue and the victory he provides. Remember the party. And let's praise him for the eternal blessing he provides. Remember your home, your true home. Five reasons to praise God, not just tonight, I hope, but always. If you don't like the icons that I've used here, we had a big debate in my family. I also came up with some pictures. I might put those up at the end. If you want to see what the pictures were different, we couldn't decide which worked better. But there we go. I might put those up later. Now look, Psalm 23, originally, David's words. And we can appropriate them quite rightly for ourselves. But I do want to encourage you to remember this. They find their ultimate fulfillment in and through Jesus and the words that the Lord Jesus would have spoken himself. So I'm going to read it through just one final time before we sing it. And I want to invite you to picture Jesus, if you like, saying Psalm 23 for himself. Because as Andrew Bonner, a Scottish pastor from the 19th century, once said, he said this, "The church has so exclusively applied this psalm to herself as almost to forget that her shepherd, that great shepherd, once needed it. And he was glad to use it." So as I read, just picture the Lamb of God saying these words as he's led through his life. He's led to the cross, and he's led back home to his Father. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Friends, I have not even scratched the surface of Psalm 23. There is so much to mine and to be encouraged by in this psalm. So I want to conclude by offering you a way to do that this summer, to mine the depths of and the riches of Psalm 23. Last year, Debs and I read a book by another Scottish pastor, actually, called David Gibson. And this is the book, The Lord of Psalm 23, Jesus Our Shepherd, Companion and Host. I have a copy with me here. I highly recommend it. I can't recommend it enough, actually. We absolutely loved reading it. It would make excellent summer reading. You know, if you are looking to rest by some green pastures and just soak in the truths of Psalm 23 at a bit of a deeper level, then I recommend it to you.